When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
As an archaeologist, dedicated to uncovering the mysteries of the past, I was astounded by the discovery of this journal. Found amidst the skeletal remains of a man with only one arm and no legs, this artifact offers a harrowing glimpse into the final days of Martin de la Vega, a Spanish scribe who documented his expedition through the New World in the 17th century. Using advanced imaging technology, we were able to see through the aged, fragile pages and made out what was written. The journal had been meticulously translated into English, with certain words and phrases replaced to better convey their meaning to modern readers. When relevant, locations had been referred to by their current names to provide context. Sections that start with Martin's thoughts are particularly fascinating. These passages appear to be afterthoughts, scribbled in the margins or beside the main text. They offer a raw, unfiltered look into Martin's psyche as he grapples with the extraordinary and terrifying events he had encountered. Near the end, it is almost unimaginable how he managed to continue writing, let alone add these reflective notes, given his dire physical state. The journal is unique not only for its detailed daily entries, but also for the personal reflections Martin included. While his official report was never found, this personal journal survived, remarkably preserved along with his remains. The contents revealed the grueling journey of Martin and his party, their encounters with hostile environments, and the creeping influence of a mysterious and malevolent creature known as the Dogman. As you read through these translated entries, bear in mind the extraordinary circumstances under which they were written. Martin's initial optimism and diligent documentation give way to desperation and raw fear as the journey progresses. His words, painstakingly recorded even in the face of unimaginable suffering, provide a haunting testament to the trials faced by earlier explorers of the New World. The following pages are a fateful reproduction of Martin de la Vega's journal, offering a window into a world of danger, mystery, and the indomitable human spirit. Dr. Reginald Carter. March 3rd, 1620. As I pen these words, the gentle sway of our vessel reminds me of the vastness of the ocean we traverse, a boundless expanse that carries us to the New World. I, Martin de la Vega, have been granted the esteemed role of scribe for this expedition, a task that fills me with both pride and trepidation. Each wave that rocks our ship carries the weight of our hopes and the echoes of distant lands yet to be charted. My quill dances across the parchment, capturing each minute of our journey. The sailors' tales, their laughter, and even their whispered fears, nothing escapes my notice. It is my duty to document every facet of this expedition, for history is a tapestry woven for the threads of our experiences, no matter how mundane they may seem. The scent of salt and the cry of gulls are constant companions, their presence a reminder to the ever-changing world beyond the horizon. I find solace in the rhythm of my writing, each stroke of ink a testament of my dedication and the unyielding curiosity that has driven me since childhood. My eyes keen and observant, miss little, and my ears are attuned to the subtlest of sounds, skills honed from years spent in quiet study and diligent practice. Our journey is not without its challenges, yet I remain optimistic, fueled by the excitement of discovery and the promise of new knowledge. The men around me are seasoned explorers, their stories filled with adventures that ignite my imagination. Despite the occasional grumble of discontent or the weariness etched into their faces, there is a shared sense of purpose that binds us all. Tonight, as the moon casts a silvery path across the waves, I reflect on the path that led me here. The dusty tomes of my youth, the cloistered halls of the monastery where I learned to wield the quill with precision and care, all of it has prepared me for this moment. I am but a humble chronicler, yet my words carry the weight of our journey, a responsibility I do not take lightly. As we neared the shores of the new world, anticipation courses through my veins. What wonders await us in this land of mystery and legend? What stories I will inscribe upon these pages, to be read by future generations? I cannot say, but I am ready to meet whatever comes with an open heart and a discerning eye. For now, I rest. The sounds of the sea a lullaby to my restless spirit. Tomorrow, we will disembark, and my true work will begin. With ink and parchment as my trusted companions, I shall record the unfolding of our destiny, one careful stroke at a time. Martin de la Vega. March 4th, 1620. The dawn light spilled across the deck as I woke, the promise of landfall filling me with a mixture of excitement and trepidation. Today we arrive at Veracruz, a bustling port settlement off of the southeastern shores of New Spain. My heart quickens at the thought of setting foot in this new world, even as the tales of hostile natives linger in the back of my mind. As our ship glided into the harbor, the sight of Veracruz unfolded before my eyes, a hive of activity, with ships of various sizes unloading goods and passengers. The port city bustled with life. Markets overflowed with wares, from exotic fruits to finely woven textiles, and the air was filled with the sounds of bargaining and laughter. Warehouses lined the docks, their doors yawning open to receive the endless stream of cargo. Spanish settlers and indigenous laborers worked side by side. Their faces reflected the diverse tapestry of this vibrant colony. Disembarking, I felt the solid ground beneath my feet for the first time in weeks. The city, with its cobbled streets and Spanish architecture, felt both familiar and foreign. A colonist, noticing my cautious demeanor, reassured me with tales of his own uneventful journey and the relative peace of Veracruz. His words brought a measure of comfort, yet I remained wary, knowing that the unknown lay just beyond the horizon. Our purpose here is clear. We are to gather the necessary supplies for our journey north, to a region known as Provincia de Nuevo México. From there, we will venture further into uncharted territories, hoping to expand our colony without encountering the forces of the European powers. The markets of Veracruz proved fruitful. We secured provisions for the long trip ahead. Dried meats, grains, medical herbs, and tools. The chatter of the market, filled with both Spanish and native tongues, was a constant reminder of the cultural intersection at this port. We also inquired a sturdy mule to carry our burdens, its calm demeanor a silent promise of endurance. A key addition to the party was a native man renowned for his skills as an interpreter. His knowledge of the various dialects we will encounter is invaluable. He greets us with a respectful nod, his eyes betraying a lifetime of stories untold. I sense in him a quiet strength and wisdom that will be crucial in the days to come. As the sun dipped below the horizon, casting long shadows across the busy port, our preparations were complete. We would set out for Mexico City for the morrow, a journey of 2 or 3 weeks. The road ahead is fraught with uncertainty, yet my resolve is steadfast. This land, with its mysteries and challenges, beckons me to document its every nuance. Tonight, I lay my head down with a sense of purpose. Tomorrow, our journey north begins. The pages of this journey will soon be filled with the stories of our travels, the faces we meet, and the land that unfolds before us. The new world is vast and untamed, but with ink and parchment, I shall capture its essence. Martin de la Vega. March 9th, 1620. Our departure from Veracruz marked the beginning of our journey towards Mexico City, the first major stop being Puebla. Our party, a formidable assembly of 80 souls, set forth with a blend of anticipation and trepidation. Among us are 20 soldiers, the steadfast guardians of our expedition. Leading us is Don Rodrigo, a seasoned explorer whose presence commands respect. The remainder of our group comprises artisans, laborers, cooks, and other essential personnel whose skills are vital to our expedition. For days we trekked, the terrain shifting beneath our feet as we left the humid lowlands of the coast and began our ascent into the Sierra Madre Oriental Mountains. Our journey was atrocious, each step a testament to our resolve. The tropical heat near Veracruz soon gave way to a cooler, more temperate climate as we climbed higher into the mountains. The change was a relief, yet the path grew steeper and more treacherous. The landscape we traversed was a tapestry of contrasts. Lush, verdant forests gave way to rocky outcrops and narrow passes. The air, once thick with humidity, turned crisp and invigorating. As we passed through the territories of various indigenous groups, our interactions were as varied as the terrain. Some welcomed us with open arms, offering trade and valuable information about the land ahead. Others regarded us with suspicion, their wariness a reminder of the delicate balance we must maintain. March 9th, 1620. Martin's thoughts. The indigenous people we have encountered were as diverse as the land itself. Some shared their knowledge freely, while others kept their distance, eyes filled with caution. It is clear that our presence stirs a mixture of curiosity and unease. The mountains, though beautiful, were not without danger. Bandits lurked in the shadows, using the rugged terrain to their advantage. We moved with caution, our soldiers ever vigilant, weapons at the ready. The threat of ambush was a constant companion, a shadow that trailed our every step. Despite this, our spirits remained high, bolstered by the camaraderie that grew stronger with each passing day. Finally, after days of grueling travel, we reached Puebla. The city, nestled in the mountains, was a welcome sight. Its streets were alive with the bustle of trade and the chatter of its inhabitants. Here, we could rest and replenish our supplies, taking stock of our journey thus far. Martin's thoughts. Puebla stands as a beacon of civilization amidst the rugged wilderness. The city's vibrancy is a stark contrast to the solitary path we had trotted. As we prepare to continue our journey, I reflect on the trials we have faced and the resilience of our party. Each step brings us closer to our destination, and I remain committed to documenting every moment of this grand adventure. As night falls in Puebla, I find solace in the steady rhythm of my quill against the parchment. The days ahead promise new challenges and discoveries, and I am eager to record them all. Our expedition to Mexico City is but a chapter in the larger narrative of our quest, and I am honored to be its chronicler. Martin de la Vega. March 10th, 1620. The dawn broke over Puebla, casting a golden hue over the city's bustling streets as we made our final preparations for the journey to Mexico City, the heart of New Spain. Before we could depart, however, we were approached by a group of natives with grave expressions and urgent warnings. Through the translation of our skilled interpreter, they told us of a creature to the north, beyond Mexico, known to them as the Dogman. Their descriptions painted a grotesque image, a twisted amalgamation of human and beast, as if a god had tried to fashion a creature in human form and failed horrifically. Its body, covered in matted fur, stood upright like a man, but bore the features of a savage beast. Long, sharp claws, a maw filled with jagged teeth, and eyes that seemed to pierce through the darkness were among the details that chilled us to the bone. One elder, with a voice trembling yet resolute, recounted a harrowing tale of how the Dogman tormented a group of travelers. They spoke of how the creature would toy with its victims, leading them astray into the wilderness, and creating echoes of familiar voices to lure them into traps. Travelers would find their supplies mysteriously tampered with, food spoiled, and paths altered overnight. The creature's cunning was unmatched, and the pleasure seemed to lie in the psychological torture it inflicted before the kill. The elder continued, recounting a horrific event that befell their own tribe. A warrior, brave and strong, had ventured too far north and encountered the Dogman. The beast did not kill him swiftly. Instead, it maimed him, leaving him back to crawl to his village, a warning and a harbinger of doom. Over the following days, the tribe was haunted by the creature. They would find the bodies of their kin brutally slain, one by one, each morning. The Dogman seemed to savor the fear it instilled. Its victims found with expressions of utter terror etched permanently onto their faces. Martin's thoughts. The story of the Dogman is one of dread and sorrow. The creature's delight in tormenting its prey, its methodical destruction of an entire tribe, and the persuasive fear it sowed served as a stark reminder of the perils that lie ahead. The natives' decision to migrate far south, seeking refuge from this monstrosity, speaks volumes about the horrors they have endured. The group of natives explaining these stories were clearly terrified, their eyes darting nervously as they spoke. They had decided to migrate far south, putting as much distance between themselves and the creature as possible. Their warning to us was not of mere caution, but a desperate plea for us to hide their words and avoid the northern territories at all costs. As I document these warnings, a sense of unease settles over our party. The tales of the Dogman, though fantastical, are told with such conviction that it is impossible to dismiss them outright. We face an uncertain path, one fraught with dangers both known and unknown. Martin's thoughts. Though skepticism runs deep among some of our ranks, the urgency and sincerity of our natives' warnings cannot be ignored. As we prepare to leave Puebla and continue our journey to Mexico City, I am reminded of the weight of my duty, not just to record, but to heed the lessons and warnings of those who had traversed these lands before us. We will depart for Mexico City soon, our spirits a mix of determination and apprehension. The journey ahead is long, and the shadow of the Dogman's legend looms over us. I pray that we are spared the horrors that others had faced, and that our path remains clear and safe. Martin de la Vega. March 11th, 1620. Today has been a day of unrelenting travel as we continue our journey north towards Mexico City. The terrain, though rugged and challenging, has not diminished the resolve of our party. By evening, we found a suitable place to set up camp along the trail, nestled beside a serene river that offered us both water and a measure of tranquility. As the sun dipped below the horizon, casting long shadows over the landscape, our party moved with the precision and coordination of a well-oiled machine. The soldiers, ever vigilant, established a perimeter around the campsite. They worked in pairs, setting up a makeshift barrier of wooden stakes and sharpening their weapons, their disciplined movements a stark contrast to the surrounding wilderness. Martin's thoughts. The efficiency with which our camp was established speaks the discipline and experience of our soldiers. Their movements were precise, each task carried out with a practiced ease. It is a comfort to know that we are protected by such capable hands. The layout of our campsite was strategic, with tents around in a circular formation to ensure visibility and defense. The officers' tents were positioned at the center, surrounded by the soldiers' and artisan tents. My own tent was near the center, providing a vantage point for which I could observe and document our surroundings. The river's gentle murmur provided a soothing backdrop, a stark contrast to the harsh realities of our journey. As night fell, a sense of calm settled over the camp. The river's gentle flow and the distant calls of nocturnal creatures were the only sounds that accompanied the crackling of our campfires. The scent of smoke mingled with the earthly aroma of the forest created an atmosphere that was almost peaceful. I sat in my tent, quill in hand, reflecting on the day's events and the stories we had heard. The natives' warnings about the Dogman lingered in my mind, a dark cloud over our otherwise uneventful day. Just as I began the rite, a strange noise reached my ears. It was faint, almost indistinguishable from the natural sounds of the night, but it was there, an unfamiliar rustling. Curiosity piqued, I stepped out of my tent, careful not to disturb the others. The camp was bathed in a soft glow of the moon, shadows dancing in the firelight. I scanned the perimeter, but saw nothing out of the ordinary. The noise persisted, growing louder and more insistent, until I heard it. A voice, faint and distant, calling my name. My heart skipped a beat as I recognized the voice of my daughter. Martin's thoughts. The voice of my daughter here in this remote wilderness was both impossible and undeniable. It called to me with a tone of urgency that made me instinctively run towards it. I took a few steps towards the sound before the realization struck me. The natives. The warnings about the dogman. They had spoken of how the creature mimics familiar voices to lure its prey. I stopped in my tracks, my mind racing. The voice continued, but now I listened with a critical ear. It was too perfect each time it happened, like something was mimicking a sound in the exact way every single time. This is impossible. I must be dreaming, I convinced myself as I made my way back into the makeshift tent. It was a trick. A cruel ploy to draw me into the darkness. My heart pounded as I turned my way towards the camp, every step filled with growing sense of dread. But it was just a dream. With these thoughts heavy on my mind, I finally succumbed to sleep. The echoes of the deceptive voice still lingered in my ears. Martin de la Vega. March 12th, 1620. Last night's sleep brought no peace. Instead, I was tormented by a vivid and horrifying dream. I found myself cowering in a dark corner, paralyzed by fear. Around me, people screamed, shrieks of agony and terror louder than I had ever heard. The screams echoed in my mind, their intensity growing until I was jolted awake, drenched in a sweat. As the morning light seeped into my tent, I tried to shake off the remnants of the nightmare. I dressed quickly and stepped outside to join the others in disassembling our camp. The routine tasks helped steady my nerves, though the memory of the previous night's eerie encounter lingered. Martin's thoughts. The morning air, cool and fresh, did little to dispel the shadows of my dream. I hoped that the light of the day would bring clarity, but instead, it revealed something far more unsettling. As I exited my tent, my eyes were drawn to the ground. There, just beyond the edge of our camp, was a strange large footprint. It resembled that of a wolf, but it was too smeared to make out any distinct details. The sight of it sent a chill down my spine, a stark reminder of the warnings we had received. While I began disassembling my tent, one of the soldiers approached me, his face etched with concern. He asked me if I had heard anything strange last night. I recounted the incident of the strange footprint in my disturbing dream, explaining that I had knew nothing more. Martin's thoughts. The soldier's inquiry confirmed my fears. The night had not passed without incident, and I was not the only one who had experienced something strange. With a grave expression, the soldier revealed that 3 people were missing, and 5 were found dead within the camp. The news hit me like a physical blow. The deaths and disappearances cast a dark pall over our morning preparations. The sense of security that the daylight usually brought was shattered. I retreated to my tent, my mind racing with fear and questions. I took up my quill and began to document the events, my hand unsteady. The screams of my dreams seemed to merge with the reality of the morning, each stroke of ink a desperate attempt to make sense of the chaos. As I continued to write, the story of the dogman that the tribespeople had told lingered in my mind. Their descriptions of the creature, a grotesque blend of human and beast, with a penchant for psychological torment and brutal killings, haunted my thoughts. The large, smeared footprint outside my tent seemed to validate their warnings, yet my rational mind struggled to accept such a monstrous reality. Martin's thoughts. The tribespeople spoke of such conviction, their fear palpable as they recounted the dogman's horrific deeds. Could such a creature truly exist? My heart tells me no, but the evidence before me suggests otherwise. Despite the chilling tales and the unexplainable events of the night, a part of me resisted believing in the existence of the dogman. The idea of a creature so terrifying, capable of such cruelty, seemed like something out of a nightmare rather than reality. My logical mind sought explanations. Perhaps it was a wild animal, a trick of the light, or even mass hysteria brought on by the stress of our journey. The faces of the missing and the dead flashed into my memory. Their absence, a stark reminder of the dangers we faced. My comrades had been real, their lives tangible, and now they were gone. The fear that gripped our camp was real, and I could not simply dismiss the possibility of the dogman's existence. Martin's thoughts. The rational part of me clings to the hope that there is a logical explanation of all of this. Yet the fear in my comrade's eyes and the mysterious footprint tells me a different story. I must remain vigilant, even as I struggle to reconcile these events with my understanding of the world. As the day wore on, we continued our journey. The shadow of the dogman loomed over us. My role as a scribe felt heavier than ever. Each entry in my journal, a blend of factual documentation and personal reflection. I recorded the landscape, our interactions with each other, and the persuasive sense of unease that now accompanied us. Martin's thoughts. The road ahead is uncertain, fraught with dangers both seen and unseen. I must remain steadfast in my duty, capturing every detail, no matter how frightening or fantastical it may seem. For in these pages, the truth of our journey will be preserved. The memory of the tribespeople's warnings, the footprint, and my nightmares remained etched into my mind. As we pressed on, I resolved to keep my eyes and ears open, to record everything, and to try and make sense of the incomprehensible. My pen would be my weapon against the unknown, my journey a testament of the trials we faced. With a heavy heart and determined spirit, I closed my journal for the day, promising myself to remain vigilant and to continue documenting our journey, no matter what horrors might await us. Martin de la Vega.